Okay, today for our class, we'll just review back a couple of verses and then we'll move our way forward slowly in Genesis 6.
好，今天我们课先会复习一下礼拜天所讲的事情，然后我们再继续讲创世纪第六章。
It might take a little bit of time. Today we're going to be introducing Noah, who of course you know about, but we'll introduce him as we come into verse 7, verse 8.
好，我们今天还是会再继续讲这个诺亚的这个大洪水的事件，所以我们大概会主要会再谈第六章创世纪六章七跟八节。
Yeah, once you get down to about verse 9, actually, there's a few statements made about Noah, and we're probably going to have to go off into what we call a segue or like a tangent to really look at what God is saying about Noah.For us to understand exactly what God is talking about with Noah, we're going to have to spend more time looking at each of those characteristics.
Okay. 那在我们谈到六章第九节的时候呢，因为它主要是在谈好几件有关诺亚的事情，所以我们会非常非常应该说分析的比较清楚的来谈诺亚。
Okay, but that's quite normal. And as we learn about Noah, we can obviously learn about ourselves and what God expects from us as well.
虽然说我们是在谈诺亚，但其实呢，我们也一样是等于是从诺亚的身上了解上帝是怎么样对我们有所什么期待。
Because Noah is obviously one of those great heroes of the Bible, and God is using him as an example for us.
因为诺亚呢，在圣经里面，他绝对是一个英雄。那所以我们从诺亚身上可以理解上帝是怎么样期待的。
So when God brings up a hero, he raises up a hero, and then he's describing him in the Bible, it's not something you want to overlook. You really want to study about what God is saying about those people.
因为上帝他特别抬举一些英雄，而且在圣经里花了这样的篇幅来描述他，一定是有很大的原因的，所以我们千万不要忽略。
Okay, but we'll see that once we get down to verse 8 and verse 9, we'll have to slow down and we'll take a good look at Noah.
好，所以当我们讲到这个创世纪六章的八九节的时候，我们要非常仔细来研究诺亚。
Okay, but as always, we have to review. So we'll go back a little bit first and review some of the concepts we looked at on Sunday.
但是就如每一堂课，我们都会往回头好来复习一下我们礼拜天所讲的内容。
And before we do that, we need to name our sins to God the Father to ensure that we're in fellowship with Him.
那在整个课程开始之前，我们还是一样要向我们的天父认罪，确定我们跟我们的圣灵天父都有一个关系。
Okay, so let's do that now.
好，我们现在开始。
Father, sir, we give thanks to you for the time that we have now to study your word.
感谢天父让我们有时间来研究研读您的话语。
For the freedom that we have to be able to gather together or to be able to have the information available to us.
那也感谢能够给我们这样的自由，可以共同的一起花时间来研读你的智慧。
We know that Satan is not pleased when we can sit ourselves down and listen to the word, so he always does what he can to prevent this.
而且呢，我们也知道呢，撒旦会因此而不开心，因为他总是希望我们不要能够这么安静、专注地坐下来学习。
But we give thanks that you're always faithful to make your word accessible to those who are interested.
也因此我们非常感谢天父能够让我们能够有一个管道来真正的理解你对我们的讯息。
So we give thanks for these things in Christ's name.
所有的感谢是因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen.
Amen.
So now that we're going to do the review, I'll just bring up the slideshow that we had from last Sunday.
我们先来看一下礼拜天的这个 PPT.
I did send this out. You'd have most of this on your phones, either through WeChat or through Line. So, yeah, if you can bring those up on your phones, it might actually be clearer for you.
那这个档案呢，都已经发到各位的群组里面哈。所以，如果你们觉得要看得更清楚的话，可以直接从群组里面叫出这个档案来。
Okay, but that's up to you, of course. So, we'll start back at Genesis 6:5.
我们先来看的是创世纪六章五节。
We see Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man, now remember this was the word ra'ah, which means evil. The evil of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, and basically it means all of his thoughts, were evil continually or all the time.
这一句经句呢，他提到的哈，就是说耶和华看见呢，在地上的我们都有非常邪恶的一面，然后呢，而且呢，所有的所思所想呢，都是充满了那种持续性的邪恶。
And in Genesis 6:6, and Jehovah, sometimes this is expressed as Lord, but Jehovah repented or regretted. Remember, we had the word nacham, which has a very broad meaning.
那我们讲到创世纪六章六节，讲到耶和华呢，他也有这个非常的，应该说觉得悔悟跟后悔，或悔改或后悔，哈，说他造了人。You
remember that we had the word nacham, and even the best Hebrew scholars had difficulty in working out really what the precise meaning was.
我们也就礼拜天提到Naha这个字呢，就是它有非常广泛的意思。
And it's quite possible that God used what we would call like a more nebulous word. Nebulous means sort of the meaning can be quite undefined. Because it's an anthropopathism. See, God was not actually thinking these things. It's an anthropopathism, and it means that what was happening was outside of the will or the plan of God.
那为什么在这里会用了一个这么广泛的字呢? 是因为可能神也希望不要用太单一思维的字，因为这其实这个圣经在这个时候它是用一种拟人化的方式来描述神，所以他用神，他会等于后悔或者是悔悟这种词，其实本来不是神他会有的性格，但他用拟人化的方式来描述他的那种状态。
And this one verse alone, you're going to see three times or three words here that God himself is using. Remember, we had these terms anthropopathism or anthropomorphism just in this one sentence, really.
所以在这样的一个句子里面呢，你就看到非常明显的把神拟人化，或者是说，不管是思维的拟人化，或者是行为的形体的拟人化。
So the meaning doesn't actually have to be precise, because whether you translate as repent or regret, God does not have that kind of thinking. That's not God's characteristic.
而我们要知道呢，其实不管是悔悟或者是后悔啊，对我们的神来讲，他是不可能有这样子的性格的。
And later on, just after that, as the verse continues, it says he regretted he'd made man, and he was angry or grieved. But it doesn't matter which way you translate, because God is never angry and God never grieves.
而后半段呢，他说神呢也非常生气，或者是用伤心来解这个词啊。 但是这个伤心或生气对神来讲也是不符合的，因为神是不会有这样子的情绪的，这些都是属于拟人化的写法。This
word grieved in English, it sort of means like to be sad about something that's happened, to mourn. Yeah, I guess to mourn. Like if somebody's died or something very bad happened, then you're weeping or grieving.
那尤其这个所谓的伤心这个概念，其实在英文字这个用法都是几乎有人死了你才会去用的一个字。When
you get into the New Testament, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, and it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So here we have an anthropopathism applied to the Holy Spirit. Well, it's a command, do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
所以呢，在那个以弗所书四章三十节呢，这边也有用到这个字啊，就说不要让圣灵伤心。他说，不要这边的直接的中文翻译是叫不要让神的圣灵担忧。Okay.
So again, yeah, this is an anthropopathism, so it could probably be translated in many ways.
那这也是一个对于圣灵或是神来讲，他也是把圣灵。 变成是拟人化的一种说法，所以这种翻译就可能会比较多元性的去翻译。And
of course, you cannot make the Holy Spirit unhappy. He is perfect. He is God, so his thinking is perfect, which means he's never unhappy.
而我们也知道，圣灵就跟神一样，我们三位一体的神，他是不会不生呃。 觉得真正不高兴不开心或忧伤或担忧的，因为他什么都知道，他是全知的，他其实不会因为这样而生气。
Yeah, and one believer alone could not make God unhappy, because this would mean that God is, maybe he's happy for some believers and unhappy for other believers. You know, first he's angry and then he's grieving and then he's happy. You know, he'd be a very confused God.
如果说一个我们的神或者是我们的圣灵啊，会因为一个人而造成这个神他的高兴不高兴生气担忧等等的话，那这个神他就变成情绪是起起伏伏的，那就已经不像我们的神该有的一个状态了。
And in the context of Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit means do not get out of fellowship, or if you do get out of fellowship, you quickly need to name your sins to God.
所以以弗所书的四章三十节他讲的说不要让圣灵担忧或不开心，这个事情他其实是说不要让圣灵跟我们失去了关系。
Yeah, so if you are out of fellowship for a long time, this is not the will of the Holy Spirit. He wants to have his filling ministry in your soul. So, yeah, because we are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you're out of fellowship, God, the Holy Spirit, it's like he's saying, well, when are you going to name your sins?
所以呢，其实这边在以弗所书四章三十节讲的是说，我们应该要随时圣灵充满是最好的状态，所以尽量不要让这个我们的圣灵不开心而离开我们，跟我们的关系断绝，有那种短暂断绝都不要哈。所以他其实在讲的是这件事。
But getting back to Genesis 6:6, so we see this Hebrew word atzab, which could be translated angry or grieved, and usually that would depend on the context.
好，所以呢，在这边所说的说让神不要神是生气或者是伤心，这边的希伯来文的 atzab 这个字其实要怎么翻译，完全是看前后整个句子的内容来看。
But either way, whether you look at it as him being angry or grieved, it's an anthropopathism, and it means that what was happening was outside of the will or the plan of God.
好，所以不要忘记，这边所形容的这些生气、伤心等等，也是一种拟人化的说法。那最重要的事情就是
yeah, everybody were involved in evil, so that was outside of the will of God.
所以这件事情主要是讲的是说，如果我们跟邪恶有关的话，这就是在神的应许之外的事情，他的应该说他的期望的以外的事情。
He was angry to his heart. See, we have the Hebrew word lab, which it can mean the physical heart, but usually it relates to the part of the soul, the cardia, we call it in Greek, which pumps the thought around in your soul.
好，那最后这三个英文字他说在神的心，那这个心呢其实讲的比较是在谈的是他的思维，是在神的思维。
It's interesting how in the old days that people did use the word heart for thinking. Now this is how you are thinking things in your heart. And they knew you're not thinking in this heart here. But they sort of took the same concept where your heart in the center of your chest that pumps blood around the system. Whereas the heart in your soul, it pumps thoughts around in your mind. You got that? So you've got this heart here in your body that pumps blood. So the blood circulates. But they took that concept of a heart in your soul, and that's sort of what pumps thought around in your soul.
在古时候呢，好像那个常常会用这个心，好像来谈这个思维，是因为呢，心本身是把这个血给用帮浦一样，是像一个血液的帮浦一样的，把这个血液打到全身。所以他讲心的思维，其实也是好像我们的脑中一直有各种思绪被打出来，像帮浦一样的打出来，所以他会用心的概念来表达思维的一个概念。
And we do see that the Bible mentions many times, for example, you shall love God with your heart, or it's with your heart that you will do the will of God, for example. Now, always mentioning about your heart, but the heart is really a part of the soul.
所以我们常常讲说你要用你的心来爱神，好，那这个也是一种举例，因为这整个这个心它所指的也是一种全部的思维，也就是你的魂所代表的思维。
And the heart is like the eternal part of our being. Whereas the brain is the physical part, of course, that belongs to the physical body.
好，其实呢，这边常常会用心来代表思维，是指的那种永恒性的思维。哦、而不像我们的脑所代表的思维呢，其实只是一个实体的一个器官。
It's quite amazing how the two work together. There is obviously a connection between the brain and the heart, but the brain is the one that processes information from the outside. So, you know, through your eyes and ears and nose, for example, that goes into your brain, and your brain sort of processes those perceptions. And then the heart works it all out, what's going on.So really the brain is the processor from the outside to the soul. He's sort of like in between somewhere.
所以呢在这个地方 Tim 特别想要把头脑他在处理的状况跟心再做一个区隔。就是头脑其实有一点像是这种把所有的资讯去把它运作，就好像一个电脑的一个处理器一样。那心呢则是你的内在的一个状态跟决定。
And you know, if you took somebody's brain out, obviously they'd be dead physically. But then if they died physically, then that soul that they have would be going into a new body. And you sort of have to assume that that new body would have some kind of a brain almost as well. Now, I'm speculating. Because you know, if you go into like a resurrection body has eyes and ears and nose. So you sort of have to think that within the resurrection body, there's some kind of a brain that connects the information from the outside.To the soul. But the soul can exist without the brain. But in an interim body or eternal body, do we still need some kind of a brain in that body to perceive the information from the outside?
他在讲一个揣测，就是在对我们一个有魂来讲，当我们在这个身体的时候，我们是靠这个身体的脑部来做这些资讯的处理。那当我们进入就是我们死后我们离开了现在这个肢体然后我们到了一个新的所谓复活的身体的时候那个时候它是不是那个复活身体又有另外的一个处理器那我们现在不清楚但是很清楚的事情是我们的魂都是同一个所以我们的心是跟着我们的魂走的
The Bible doesn't say, of course.
当然我们的圣经并没有这么清楚的去描述这些事情
So I'm just speculating.I'm just like guessing.
所以 Tim 他只是用一个假设来让我们分辨脑与心的一个差别。
And I could be wrong. The only way we're going to find out is when we get to heaven, and then we can do brain surgery on each other and have a look, I guess.
那当然这个是他的一个揣测哈。那我们也不会知道答案，除了等到我们去天堂的时候，我们才会知道。
But in this verse here, we see that God is mentioning that he has a heart. See, he was angry or grieved to his heart, but we know God does not have a heart.
所以在这边的经句里面提到说神呢他是以他的心会生气或者是伤心但是我们也知道神他其实是没有所谓的心因为他是不一样的跟我们是不同的一个状态
See, God in his essence he is a spirit and he does think obviously but there's no centralized place which controls his thinking
因为神他是一个灵好那它其实呢并没有像我们一样有一个固定的一个核心可以去做思维它无形体的所以 它的思维是无法用我们人的这种方式去描述
So just to summarize Genesis 6:6 again we're seeing that there's all of these anthropopathisms and anthropomorphisms used to describe that what's going on the earth at that time needs to stop and there needs to be a big change
所以呢这个创世纪六章六节其实在讲的就是其实他用了两种拟人化一种是拟人的思维一种是拟人的器官因为他连那个心这个都出来了那但是重点是在这种状态下就是六章所发生的这个到处是邪恶的状况下神是决定要改变
And the change that's going to happen is going to be one of the greatest changes ever in human history. It's going to be a completely new civilization.
而这个改变呢，神要做的改变是在有史以来空前绝后的一个大改变，因为它基本上是要毁掉了当时的文明，而重新一个新的文明的开始。
aside from the creation of the universe and the events which we see for the six-day restoration in Genesis chapter 1, this is really the most major physical change that has ever occurred on the earth.
就是除了在创世纪一章所提到的神创了宇宙之外，这个时期我们即将要谈到诺亚的这个洪水的时期，是它真的一个非常非常大的改变。
We'll see actually that even the climate changed, the weather changed completely after the flood, or during the flood, I guess, and then for the time afterwards.
而且它的改变是从整个气候性的去大改变，尤其当这个洪水来的时候的这个过程是一个非常戏剧化的一个大改变。
And then we're going to see that there's going to be a change in the microbes. M-I-C-R-O-B-E-S. Microbes means that the tiny sort of bacteria and things in the earth. Because we notice for the first time that fermentation, that's the process of taking grapes and making wine. This is going to happen for the first time in history after the flood. So before then, it's almost as if there was no microbacteria, perhaps.
而且这个有趣的事情是呢，这个时候也就是诺亚洪水时期哦，才开始发生了这个世界是有微生物的生成，之前是没有微生物的，所以也因此呢，在诺亚之后，就是洪水之后呢，这个世界才有所谓的发酵，像酿酒这些事情。
I'm going to see that almost the entire animal population is wiped out, though God does keep two of everything, of course, and, as animals to repopulate the earth. So yeah, the entire animal kingdom is almost wiped out, of course.
而且呢，在这个过程中呢，它也让整个动物体系啊，全部都结束了。当然，它有留下一些跟着方舟。那重新再让他们复制啊，就是在继续的发展成长，但原则上是等于是被拣选的，在方舟上之外，其他的生物全部都死光了。
There's only going to be one more time in history where we're going to see such a dramatic change in the environment and including the social culture, and that's when Jesus Christ returns at the millennium.
而这个世界的改变，这么大的改变呢，在整个历史上只会有另外一次跟这一样大的一个大改变，那就是当耶稣基督再回来的时候。
And when Jesus Christ comes back, the first thing he's going to do is get rid of Satan and the fallen angels and the unbelievers as well. It'll all be put into Hades, as it were, into the bottom of the earth.
因为在耶稣回来的时候呢，他当然是要把撒旦还有堕落天使，还有那些不信神的人都解决。
They'll all be locked up in the prison in the center of the earth for 1,000 years.
那这些人呢，都会被关禁在地心底下的地狱里，一直关1,000年。
And the environment is going to be changed back to the perfection that we had back in the time of Eden.
而整个地球的环境呢，则要回复到当年伊甸园的时候的那种完美状态。
We're going to see that the DNA of the animals must be changed in some way because the violent characteristics of the predator animals will be taken away, and then it says like the lion will be lying down with the lamb. And so you're going to have these previously dangerous animals and they're going to be perfectly safe.
而且呢，在这个千禧年的过程中呢，连动物他们的 DNA 可能都有一点改变，因为曾经有这样的描述，就是狮子跟羊是一起在生活的，已经没有了那种狮子会吃了羊的这种状态，所以很显然呢，他们都变和平了。不知道是不是狮子，它都变成是草本吃草的，不吃肉了。
And humans are going to live. Some people, if they're born at the beginning of the millennium, they're going to live for 1,000 years. The ages go back to the time of the beginning of human history as well.
同时呢，人类的这个生命也要回复到亚当夏娃那时候一开始的时候，不是都活个八九百岁的那种状态，就是人类的基因也能够就是活到整整1,000年的左右的状态。
And that implies almost that those microbacteria and the microbes, those things that were causing diseases and cancers and things like this, that they will be taken away again.
而那些所谓的微生物，就是会造成我们的生病啊，好，这种的各种情况的这些细菌病毒也会不见了，在那一千禧年间。
It's going to be a perfect environment for 1,000 years.
所以这就是一个完美的一个生态环境，会维持一千年。
So it begins a new civilization. So we can say a new civilization begins at the time when Jesus Christ returns.
所以我们可以说呢，在耶稣基督回来的那个时候，又是一个新的文明状态的开始。
And human history can actually be divided up into three civilizations. If you don't include the time that Adam and Eve spent in the garden, we could say that the first one begins from the time that they left the garden, and then they were populating the earth up until the time of the flood. So that's the first civilization.
所以我们可以回头看哈，人类的整个历史大概可以分成三个阶段。我们就暂且不谈亚当夏娃在伊甸园一开始的时候的那个完美的环境，我们就从亚当夏娃离开伊甸园开始来算，然后一直到这个诺亚的洪水时期，这可以算是第一个阶段。
Yeah, now here we're talking about civilizations, not dispensations, so you know, we don't want to get those mixed up.
我们先讲说把人类的文明分成三个阶段，我们不是在谈这个时代论，好，所以是三阶段的第一阶段是亚当夏娃离开伊甸园，然后到洪水发生。
Yeah, now when you do get a new civilization, actually that does start a new dispensation every time.But not every dispensation starts a new civilization. In the future, I can bring up a chart and then we can have a proper look at it.
我们非常清楚就是说人类的文明分成三阶段，那每一个文明的开始绝对是不同的这个时代，但是并不代表时代论里面的每一个时代都是一个文明。所以原则上时代论里面的切割是比较细的，那文明的这个阶段三阶段是比较大比较粗的分法。
Yeah, because altogether we have three civilizations, but there's about 7 or 8 dispensations.
因为我们整个时代论有7到8个分隔， yeah, think... 但文明的阶段我们只分成三个阶段。
Yeah, but the first civilization was from the time of Adam and Eve, really when they came out of the garden until the time of the flood. And then the second civilization is from the time of the flood until the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ.
好，所以我们讲说三个阶段的文明呢，第一阶段就是亚当夏娃离开了伊甸园到诺亚的洪水时期，然后第二阶段就是诺亚洪水之后到耶稣基督回来。
And then the third civilization is, of course, from the time Jesus Christ returns until the end of human history.
然后呢，第三阶段呢，就是从耶稣基督回来开始的这个千禧年，一直到人类的终结。
And there's two main characteristics in a civilization when you see a new civilization. One is that there's major changes in the earthly environment, in the natural environment.
而且你会发现呢，就是每一个文明的终结都，或者是开始，它都是因为有一个非常大的这个环境的一个大变动。
For example, when Adam and Eve left the garden, remember the earth was cursed. In the garden, they had perfect environment, and then outside of the garden, the earth was cursed and nature was cursed.
就像一开始亚当夏娃他们在伊甸园，从当他们离开伊甸园的时候，其实在伊甸园之外整个地球是被诅咒的。
And then we have those massive changes I just talked about during the flood.
所以当那个洪水发生的时候，整个环境是非常非常严重的这个大变动。
And then when Jesus Christ returns, big changes again, but to turn the environment back into a perfect environment.
而当耶稣基督来的时候，又是一个非常大的环境变动，而最后的变动结果则是把环境又变成了到了这个最完美的状态。
Okay, so again, we see the characteristic of a new civilization is huge changes in the environment.
所以每一次的文明的改变都是很大的环境改变。
Okay, and the other major characteristic is that every civilization begins only with believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
而且呢，我们发现呢，就是在每一个文明就是转换的一开始呢，这个文明当时所有的人呢，都只剩下的是信徒。
All the unbelievers are wiped out, and all the believers, whoever, you know, it could be just a small number like Adam and Eve or Noah's family, they are the ones that go on to repopulate the earth.
就像每一个 文明开始的时候，好，比如说亚当夏娃一开始离开伊甸园是他们是神的信徒，然后呢诺亚他的一家人被留下来都是神的信徒，他们这个这些信徒所开始的时候呢，他们就会变成会繁衍，然后在这个完全是信徒的繁衍之下变成了新的文明的人。
Okay. Now that's all we've got time for, so we'll just close off the Zoom now.
好，我们现在再要关下 Zoom 再重新开始。